Latter-day Saints Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2012 Youth Education Conference held in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
I'm glad to hear it. It reminds me of when I was an EFY counselor, and so I never was in a place where there was more energy than when I was a counselor at EFY, and this kind of atmosphere really reminds me of that. So I'm happy to be here. I really thank the student council for inviting me to be here. I teach seminary in Greenville First Ward in North Carolina, and so some of my seminary students asked me to come, and I can never say no to them. So, and I'm teaching about one of my absolute favorite topics, and that is writing. I know the bio talked a lot about some of the different things that I've done. I have a couple of degrees from BYU, but none of them are in writing, actually. But that is my true love, besides my five beautiful children. And I'm not sure if you've seen my book, but this is my book, Through Covenant, Faith Behind the Fences. It's a story about a 14-year-old girl who was in a prison camp in Sumatra during World War II. So it's a biography, but actually I love to write fiction. I love to write young adult books for your age group. So that's what I like to do. This is going to be a very hands-on workshop. So what I'm going to do is start passing out some papers, and we're going to kind of start writing a little bit. We're going to do streams of consciousness. Anybody know what that is? Anybody do that? What is that? Stream of consciousness? Okay. Stream of consciousness, we're just going to write. I'm going to show you some articles up here, and I want you to kind of just let your creative juices flow. You can write about those objects or something that might trigger a memory. We're going to do that for about 5 minutes, and then if anyone wants to share what they've written, then this is a great forum for you to start sharing your work. If not, then we'll go ahead and move on. But I'm going to pass out those papers. So if somebody would like to help me do that, that would be great. If you can go along this, that'd be great. Thank you. If you can go down the back, Blake over there. Okay, so while they're passing out the papers, here's some objects, and they're really random. I just picked them randomly out of my home. I want you to start thinking about what these objects might mean to you, and they could be symbolic or they could be literal, okay? So, for example, I have a bottle of water. You can write about the water bottle, how you always have to have a water bottle with you, et cetera, et cetera. Or you can start thinking about what water is, what kind of properties it has, and what kind of things, do you think about when you think about water, okay? Or you can just make up a story that has a water bottle in it. So that's what we're going to do for about 5 minutes. I have a bottle of water, and I want you to try and include thoughts about as many of these as you can, okay? I have a necklace, beads. I have a light bulb. You can talk about the light bulb or kind of what a light bulb symbolizes. It could be ideas. I have a horse. I have tomato sauce. I have a hat, and it even matches my ensemble. So, green hat here. Yes. Thought is, yeah, it could be maybe this hat triggers a memory about New Year's Eve for you and you want to write about that. This stream of consciousness is really open. You can write about, it's just to get your creative juices flowing about writing, okay? And then I have a superhero. I'm not sure what he is, but he's a superhero of some sort. Green Lantern. This is the Green Lantern. And then I have Samuel the Lamanite, which is a real superhero, okay? So, and an airplane. So maybe you took a trip and that's what kind of triggers your memory about that. You have 5 minutes to write about whatever you would like, and then we're going to kind of share a little bit. 10 more people. You can write on any of these or all of these or thoughts that kind of make you think about them. All right, so what are some things that, does anyone want to share their stream of consciousness with us? Yes, why don't you? Do you want to come up and use the mic, or do you want to just stand up? And by the way, whenever you're in a writing group, and I've been in a lot of writing groups, positive feedback, you know, with people that are brave enough to share what they wrote.
We were walking, the rain just got heavier and heavier. And by the time we got to a store, we were soaked. Fun,
because
we're gonna walk around in the rain all day.
Thank you. Good job. Okay, we have time for one more. You want to come up and share? Good job. That's some great use of description. I like that. Okay, so opening quote, motivation is when your dreams put on work clothes. So many people want to write, but they keep that thought in their heads instead of actually sitting down at a desk and a computer or with a notebook and actually starting to write. And that can be difficult, a difficult wall for some people to break through is actually writing. So here's some practical tips to help your writing, okay? One is, whatever you're writing, try and use action words, all right? So here we have a sentence. I got out of bed and put on my shoes. Then I got my coat and went to the gym. There's a lot of passive verbs there, okay? They don't really excite imagery when you hear those words like put or went or go. And so I'm going to have you rewrite this sentence really quick and try and add some action words where there's passive verbs, okay? So see if you can do that. It should only take 1 minute. I got out of bed and put on my shoes, then I got on my coat and went to the gym. How can you make that more active, more descriptive? Yes. Okay, very good. This is what I put. I hopped out of bed and slipped on my shoes. Then I grabbed my coat and biked to the gym. Okay? See how I took those four passive verbs and I took those out and I put in words that actually paint a picture for you. So you can actually see the person excited to go to the gym, jumping out of bed, grabbing the shoes, slipping them on, and running out the door. Okay? So whenever you're writing, you want to make sure that you limit your passive verbs and try and exchange those for active verbs, and that will always really paint a picture for your reader. Okay. All right, the next tip to help your readers is to describe using five, okay? You want to use descriptors that make the readers see, hear, touch, smell, and taste. Those five senses that you've learned about since you were, you know, in preschool. When you're writing, those are the kind of words that you're trying to use to try and help your reader feel and experience what's going on, okay? And a lot of times your description should come from your own experience, the way that other things make you feel. I think there's a sentence maybe in your handout or one that I was going to include and I didn't have room that said something like, his voice was like butter melting off of hot pancakes, okay? Who in the world would put somebody's voice and describe it by using butter slipping off hot pancakes? But when you hear that imagery, you feel it, right? You know that that guy he's smooth. He's got a slick voice. You can kind of picture what kind of person would have that voice, and you can kind of feel that voice, okay? And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about description. You want to make it vivid. You want to make people feel it, all right? So I want you to choose one or more of these four pictures, and I want you to describe that using your five senses, okay? So at the top we have some ripe strawberries, which are, you know, my favorite thing in the entire world. Like, if they don't have that in heaven, I will be extremely disappointed. I will love strawberries. Over here we have a dog, a puppy. You can describe the fur, what the eyes look like, the, you know, how the puppy is acting. Here we have a newborn baby. Another one of my favorite things in life is a newborn baby. So quickly come from Heavenly Father, and definitely innocent. And then over here we have a hurricane. So something in complete juxtaposition to a newborn baby is a hurricane. What kind of things would you describe using your five senses in terms of what a hurricane is? Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple minutes to describe one of these things, and then we'll share a little bit. Again, we can do this very quickly. All right, who wants to share? Well, we have time for some people to share. Come on up. You can come up next. You want to come on up while she's doing hers? And then did you have your hand up? Come on. You can be third. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right. Now, does that paint a picture to you? The force of a mad girlfriend who just got dumped being compared to a hurricane? Two totally different things, but you can kind of feel it. All right. Another hand. You want to come up and with the green shirt? Can you come up? Good job. You guys are really catching on. I like this a lot. All right. Some more tips. Okay. More is not necessarily better. Okay. The best writers can choose exactly the right word instead of having, you know, this huge long paragraph sentence. They choose the words that can make you picture what they're talking about or what they want you to picture in a short and succinct way, okay? Thomas Jefferson said the most valuable of all talents is that of never using two words when one word will do. Why do you think that that's important as a writer if you're trying to write? Why do you think it's important to do that with the white shirt back here? Yes. Right, absolutely. When I was a teenager, I thought I would read The Last of the Mohicans. It sounded like a really exciting book. But when I started reading it, it was so wordy. It was so verbose, and the descriptions are like pages long, and I lost interest, okay? And I know that the author comes from a different time than us, but I wish that he would have used fewer words to describe what he was doing and setting that picture for me, so that it would keep my attention, okay? Anybody else have any comments about why it's important to use one word instead of two? Green shirt. Okay, you make a great point. As a writer, you have to be very conscious of not treating your readers like they don't have a brain, okay? Because as a reader, you don't ever like to read books that where the author doesn't give you credit for being intelligent, okay? So, as a reader, you kind of want to picture some of the things yourself. Yeah, a description's important, but if you describe every little facet, then you're not giving that reader a chance to imagine on their own, and as readers, we all like to do that. Do you have a comment?
It might distract from the story.
Okay, that's another good point. As a writer, you're always trying to move the story forward, and that is one of your ultimate goals is, you know, when you're trying to decide what to include in a story or a paper or a book, does it move the plot forward? Is it essential that the reader know this? Okay? And there's sometimes that you say, yes, I need to set, for example, the book I'm writing now is set in Cornwall, England. Who's been to Cornwall? Anybody? Okay, so you don't know that there's rocky shoals, that there's coarse sand, that it's a very windy area with lots of squalls, and that it's kind of a rugged, barren area. Okay, as a writer, I need to set that for you so that you as a reader can be there with me when I'm writing my book. But I don't need to describe every little thing in order for you to know that. I have to pick and choose what I'm going to describe to move the story forward, but still set the stage enough for you to be with me as a writer, okay? Yes?
Plus, it might also make the story too long.
It might make the story too long, okay? And some writers are, you know, if you've ever read J.K. Rowling's, which I'm sure most of you have, her books are humongous, and we all love it, right? Because she is a master writer. But for some writers, they could say what they want to say in two-thirds of the time, okay? And they don't need all that room, and sometimes we lose interest in that as well. All right. Voice choice is the next, okay? I think as beginning writers, sometimes we get caught up in maybe we don't understand that our characters need to have their own voice, okay? It's not my voice, it's their voice. And that helps you to get invested in the character and to want to follow that character through the story. And so you have to make sure that the voice that you tell the story in follows what the character would talk about. If you're talking about a Southern character, like in To Kill a Mockingbird, anybody read that yet for your course of study? You know that Scout is raised in Alabama, so she's not going to talk like a New York person or somebody from Utah or somebody who's really educated, okay? She is going to talk like Scout, a little girl from Alabama. And so the author did a wonderful job of capturing that voice in that book. And when you're writing, if you were writing about a new character, you're going to want to think about what that voice is going to sound like, okay? For example, again, in the book that I wrote, Faith Behind the Fences, the girl is 14 years old, so I wrote in first person. I wanted people to experience what she experienced in the prison camps from a 14-year-old's point of view. And so she didn't have newspapers. It doesn't read like a biography or a history book. It reads like an experience that a 14-year-old girl went through and how she felt at that time. She's now 85, and I had to be very careful not to write the book like an 85-year-old woman, but as she felt when she was 14 going through the prison camps in Sumatra. Okay, yes, Han. Excellent point, okay? She's talking about tense here. Got to make sure your tense is consistent throughout unless you use flashbacks. If you read Suzanne Collins, her Hunger Games books are in present tense, and it helps keep the plot moving. It helps you be involved in the story immediately. Other books will use a past tense format, okay? Also, are you going to do third person? Are you going to do it like a narrator telling a story about somebody else? Or are you going to use first person, like you're actually there living it and experiencing it? And that's something that, as a writer, you need to map out and think about before you start writing, okay? Also, third person omniscient, that's when you can be a narrator that's removed and kind of have the thoughts of all the different main characters, and that can be a great tool to use if if that's something that's going to move your story forward as well. All right, any other comments or questions? Yes. Sure. Yeah, she absolutely does that, and she does a masterful job of that. All right, another part of a writer's voice is to find yourself in your writing, okay? So if you read certain authors, you immediately know that this is a book by them, okay? J.K. Rowling, for example, very whimsical. Her characters are whimsical. The way she explains things is whimsical. Yet she always, you trust her because you know that she has it under control and all the details are going to work in the end, okay? Someone like Ali Condie, she wrote Matched. Anybody read that? Okay, she's an LDS author right now on the bestseller list for young adult fiction. Her books are more poetical, like poetic. She has a very poetic voice, the way she explains things and the way she describes things. But when you read something from her, you immediately know that it's Ali Condie because of the way her voice is in all her works, okay? Jane Austen, again, from a different era. She writes very formally, but she has an amazingly dry sense of humor. So if you read her works, and some people don't like it, but she's one of my favorite authors, she has a really great sense of humor and a way of being ironic in her writing if you read between the lines. And so these are just some examples of how authors have different voices based on who they are as a writer. And that's an important part of being a writer. Okay, so anybody have a favorite author or writer that you love, and what distinguishes their voice from other writers? Yes.
I like Jared Tolkien.
Okay. Okay. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
All right. What do you love about him, and what makes his voice distinct?
It makes him so real. He uses the descriptive so well to create it, and at the same time, he creates the characters so vividly.
Yeah, he's a master at developing at character development for sure. All right. So, and that kind of segues into the next point, and that is that when you create characters, you don't want to create a two-dimensional character, all right? And what I mean by that is cardboard characters belong in cartoons. These are people that are two-dimensional. They don't have a lot of depth to them, okay? This is, you know, and this is something that you have to learn as you go and you start writing is people have depth. No one is usually all good or all bad, okay? Sometimes they have motivations that make them choose poor choices, and as a writer, you need to bring that to the forefront, okay? And I kind of showed Tom and Jerry here, who's very two-dimensional. He always goes after the mouse. His whole goal is to go after the mouse. You really don't get a lot of backstory on why Tom does what he does. He's very two-dimensional. But then you look at someone like Harry Potter, which was created by J.K. Rowling, and what are some of the characteristics that are could be considered good or bad about Harry? Yes. Okay. He is a courageous person, a courageous character, but he can lose his temper sometimes, all right? Anything else? Yes. Okay, he can be reckless and act before he thinks. Yeah. He breaks the rules, right? He doesn't listen to authority very well. Yes. Okay, so he acts before he thinks. Yeah. He's curious. Okay, that could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you use it. Okay, so what I'm trying to describe here is that J.K. Rowling has made a three-dimensional character. He's got wonderful qualities. We all love Harry, but we also see where some of his failings are, okay? And that helps us be able to relate to him because we all have failings, right? We're none of us are perfect, and it's great to read about a character that actually works through some of those problem areas, and you can kind of see that development throughout the course of the book or series. You can see him grow. You can see him maybe become a little more obedient. You see him, you know, as he really starts to trust Dumbledore, how he all of a sudden becomes a little more obedient to what Dumbledore asks him to do in 6 and 7, especially you see that, all right? So the point here is make your characters three-dimensional. Even bad characters or villains sometimes have some good traits, okay? And that helps us believe in them. It helps us believe that this person really does exist, okay? So here when you're developing a character, here are some questions that you can ask yourself. What motivates your character, okay? And this quote by Ray Bradbury says, first find out what your character wants, then just follow him. When you're writing, you want to know what is the goal? What does this character need to accomplish? What does he want to accomplish? What is he lacking, okay? And what is his motivation to continue? And that helps you build that character. This graphic I included on the side here is kind of like what it's like to develop a character in writing. You have a bare-bones sketch, and then as you start to get to know your character, you can add some qualities to them. Sometimes they're good qualities, and sometimes they might be negative qualities. Some questions again to ask. What does your character need to learn? How has his past shaped him? We're all shaped by our family, whether good or bad. And your characters also are probably influenced by their families. What are their strengths? What are their fears? What do they look like? So, of course, your reader wants to know what your character is going to look like. What makes him unique? If you just say your character has blonde hair and blue eyes, that, you know, there's millions of people in this world who have blonde hair and blue eyes. What are some distinguishing characteristics? Maybe he has a strong jawline. Maybe he has a scar. Or, you know, his hair is wiry or something like that. You want to include some unusual elements that can kind of help the reader picture, okay? And what is their voice like? Again, not their voice, is it high-pitched or low-pitched necessarily, but what do they sound like? You know, my last book I had a Native American character who is a, like, who was really strong and self-confident, and his voice kind of, he used a lot of slang in it, okay? That was just the way his character was. He was really laid back, but really strong, and so I felt like modern-day slang really described who he was, and so I used that a lot in his voice in the book. All right. If you want to become a good writer, and I hope all of you do, even if you never hope to publish, if you just want to do it as a pastime, here's some things that can help you. One is to become an avid reader, all right? If you want to write children's books, then dive deep into children's books. If you want to write poetry, start reading poetry. If you want to write mysteries, then start reading mysteries, and that will help you as a writer. Another thing is write. Don't give up, okay? The only bad first draft is one that's never written, okay? So you want to sit down and write, and it might be something that you end up scratching most of it at the end of the day, but you've put it on paper. It's got the bare bones. You can start editing it and making it better. Also, people watch. If you want your characters to be real, sit down at a mall or a zoo or somewhere and just watch people. How do they act? How do they interact with each other? What kind of mannerisms do they have? Become a student of human nature, and that kind of goes with the one previously. And learn to persevere, all right? If you really want to be a writer, it is a hard road to go, okay? There's a lot of rejection. I have my little shoebox full of rejections, and those that know me know that it's not easy for me to get those rejections, but I don't give up, okay? I have on my computer screen at home the word persistence, and that's really my motivator, okay? I'm not giving up. I'm moving forward. I'm going to continue. I'm going to take those rejections for what they're worth and keep going with them. Be gentle with yourself. You're not going to be a perfect writer at first, but don't give up. Keep going, okay? Understand that all feedback will help your work improve. It's all positive if it helps move your work forward and helps you improve. Believe in yourself if writing is something that you want to do, and believe in your potential, okay? We all have qualities of our Heavenly Father inside of us, and you know that, and we all can strive to achieve what we want to achieve. And be business smart, but you got to follow your intuition. You got to know what the market's like, okay? Right now there's a glut of end of the world literature and books kind of like Hunger Games type thing. So if you want to be a writer, you want to think to yourself, if the market's got too many of those books, maybe I need to go in a different direction and write something else. But at the end of the day, if end of the world's what you love, you got to write it, okay? Because people will read it if you like it. If you don't know where to start with your journal, okay? And I sound like a mom when I say that, but it is so true that the more that you're writing down, the more that you're perfecting your writing, okay? And your journal doesn't have to be, today I went to the mall, today I read 3 chapters of such and such. You can make it as creative as you want. Use those tips that we talked about. And the more that you write in your journal, I have about 10 finished journals at home, and my writing started from writing in my journal. Some creative ways to journal: you can scrapbook, you can blog, okay? That's something that is really exciting and really, something that a lot of teens are doing is blogging right now. You can use a current events diary to kind of talk about what's going on in your community or the world or your family. You can use a gratitude journal. That's something that Oprah talks about a lot. Cooking journals: what worked, what didn't, what recipes have you tried? Who did you eat with? Who did you share that with? A travel journal: where did you go? You can include tickets or memorabilia from where you traveled. Quote journals of sayings that you kind of touched you from the brethren, from, you know, your young women and young men's leaders, your parents. Fortune cookies: I like fortune cookies, so sometimes I will write those in my journal. And then a spiritual diary as you're reading your scriptures or listening to talks, things that touch you. Do not suppose life changes so much that your experiences will not be interesting to your posterity. That's something that Spencer W. Kimball said, and it's so true. My daughter, who's 12, says, why am I going to write in my journal? my kids are not going to care what I did. And I think to myself, yes, they are. They're going to want to know what movies were popular, what you like to do with your time, you know, who you knew, and the things that you thought. They're going to want to know that when she has her own children. Just as I love to learn things about my great-grandparents and grandparents and the things that they experienced when they were young. Okay, my last point is follow your bliss, all right? May I never grow too old to love once upon a time, all right? There's something to be said about a blank sheet of paper and looking at it and wondering what you can create on that blank sheet of paper, something that is important to you or something that is something that you want to share with the world, okay? And it can come in all different forms. And we all have Heavenly Father's creative juices inside of us. We know that Heavenly Father's a creative being. And whether your bliss is creative writing or photography or, you know, sewing or art or music, we all have those creative seeds within us. And they're kind of just waiting to come out. And I hope that all of you will, you know, find out how your creative expression works and go for it. Don't sit down and think you can't do it, but try. There's a victory in trying. Absolutely there is. And any other questions before we end? All right. Thank you so much. And I've enjoyed being here. I'll go home and take that blank sheet of paper and start writing. All right.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.